afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 20th, 271st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Waterboard.
Yes.
Whoa. What an appropriate day for you to be here, sir.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, we got product coming down right now.
Mr. Bruce Rupp is alongside. So you staying dry?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am. I'm pretty dry.
You kind of look like you came in from a fishing trip.
Well, you know, I was just talking to another gentleman here at the studio saying, you know, one of the nice things about radio is, you know, I'm unshaven, like me. Yeah, I'm unshaven.
And it's okay.
I'm not dressed, you know. Dressed
but you don't lose your intelligence until you start telling people that kind
Time will tell, Brian.
Fair enough. This afternoon we'll talk a little bit about
blue-green algae.
What
plumes.
An exciting,
well, it's just the beginning stuff. Blue-green algae plumes.
Okay, stay tuned, folks. It'll get better than algae when we come back.
Blue-green algae plume. It could get better. Yes.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see. Now, this one is appropriate. James Brady.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We can see California coming, and we're scared. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we lead the nation.
In many things.
Yes. There are some things I'm hoping we're not leading them in these days, but we'll see. Like bankruptcy would be one of the things.
Oh, I was thinking pulling out.
You mean the state of Franklin or whatever the state
Jefferson,
of state
yeah.
of Jefferson? Yeah, Franklin.
Jefferson.
Actually, that was a historical reference to North Carolina. They started.
Oh, they did
the state
also?
Of Franklin. Yeah, they were going to start. That dates back a long ways, and it's very
Jefferson boring. Doesn't. It's only about 150 years
ago. I know.
I
think Jefferson. That's an exciting concept, which probably will go nowhere.
Well, yeah, it would allow us to maintain our water rights.
Well, we can do that under the existing state law. So, that's what we're working on.
But at the end of the contract,
we've talked
unless
about
something
that.
Happens.
Yeah, we are developing a plan and an effort to try and maintain our water rights here or control our water up in this area to the benefit of these people up here.
Have you been able, Bruce? Is there any indication, or are you excited about any of the options that have been put forth at this point, or is it still scrambling, trying to figure out the delivery mode and some of the other options?
Yeah, we have, as you know, the water resource planning effort has resulted in three potential options, which are local use of the water, developing it for purposes of economic development and quality of life.
I thought you were going to say agriculture.
Well, no. No. Well, you know...
Go ahead.
That's another topic we can talk about in terms of the Mad River.
We will, with our algae bloom.
Water quality.
Yes, okay.
The other activity, of course, is increasing flows down particularly the reach of the Mad River. And the third, of course, is water transfer. Because we have a huge amount of water relative to what we use up here because the pulp mills use significant amount of water. This is industrial, non-treated water. So those are our three approaches. Now, at this point, I think we're making good progress in all three areas. In terms of working with the Harbor District and other entities on the peninsula to try and on the North Spit to try and support and help with development of aquaculture and other economic development activities, we're there and we're ready to help in any way we can with support and water, which is our product. That's not going to use a lot of water. the flows down the river, of course, you know, Aldron Laird and Sherry Wu, who are members of our board, are and fisheries experts, I would say, can give you a chapter and verse on that. But basically, the problem, we're working on that very diligently, the problem we face there is the resource agencies have a difficult time deciding, you know, whether more water is better or less water, fresh water is better, and you know, it benefits.
Should we clean out the stream channels, or should we allow the growth in the gunk to get in there?
There are some fisheries that benefit from salt water, and some that benefit from fresh water. And if you release more fresh water down the river, some fisheries or wildlife in the reach of the river are harmed, and some are benefited. The problem is getting a consistent answer on which way is the best way to go. It's a hard issue for the resource agencies to resolve, and we're working with them. We've talked to other water districts who have worked for years to try and get a firm resolution on that issue, to be honest with you.
And it's still kind of soggy?
It's still soggy. It's still, you know, it depends on who's there and when you talk to them. It's, you know, these are large agencies and people turn over. It's a very complex issue.
You mentioned that and it just triggered something in my head. If you got if you had somebody say, yep, this is it, boom, 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 and they signed a document indicating that that was the definition, and they weren't, then they retire, leave for whatever reason, but are no longer there. Would the agency stand behind that, or is it standing behind current staff?
Well, I'll tell you,
current definition?
We are the only water district that I know of that has a approved habitat conservation plan in the state of California. And that means it was signed off on by all the resource agencies, including the State Department of Fish and Game. I use that word advisedly because they're really now the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. The game part.
They're not playing game anymore?
They're not doing game. No, they're not doing game. They are wildlife. So they used to issue us a permit so we could go into the river to maintain the water, the parts of the system that are located in the river, like the rainy wells and so forth.
The access points.
Yeah. And basically, last time we went in for renewal of our 5-year permit, said after they'd signed off on the habitat conservation plan that says we don't harm the fisheries, saying we might be harming the fisheries. So they wanted to add some additional requirements on.
Oh, here we go downstream again. KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Bruce, considering some of the different challenges that are out there with the water, maintaining the water contract, maintaining access so everybody gets the water, turbidity, all these various things that are out there, I would think it's got to be very frustrating for staff and for you folks as kind of the board of directors of the company to try to do anything. Can you drive a stake on anything and say, this is what we're going to do,
yeah,
and this is how we're going to do it, by golly.
Actually, I think, you know, I would toot our horn a little bit and say, I think as an organization, we have been relatively effective in getting what we needed to get done in terms of improving the infrastructure and so forth. The problem, the most frustrating thing for me as a board member is the regulatory environment is such now that we are being required to pass on more and more costs to the ratepayers for things, for example, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Because we generate 2 megawatts of power at the dam. We're regulated by them. At one time, the regulatory costs for inspections we had to pay for were about $13,000. This last year, $120,000 in costs because we had to hire special consultants approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and we could hire them for only a 3-year period, and then we have to hire a brand new person who has to come in order, so that we, and this adds layers and layers of costs on delivering water to our ratepayers. I talked about the
standards are that difficult to measure.
They basically have national standards. They're adopted. They've had problems with dams failing in other parts of the country. They adopt these standards, and the problem you face is we went to them and said, look it. We take very good care of the dam. We've got a proven record of stewardship.
55 and 64. Yeah. I mean, that's all you need.
No problems. Exactly. Dam failure is not going to be an issue here. Can we find a way that we don't have to give, do these, 50-page, 60-page reports on the dam every 3 years on dam safety and so forth that are basically bureaucratic paperwork? And they said, no, this is the regs, this is what you have to do, you will do it. So that's it. I mean, there is not a lot of flexibility there. And every time you have a problem somewhere else in the country, a dam failure or something, and they do occur, it is institutionalized, I mean, within the federal bureaucracy, that they respond to it in a singular way. They have they have one approach, and that's it.
That's kind of what has played havoc with us with FEMA also.
Well,
one
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Well, I have more.
Sorry to bring up old memories, man.
No, I have more sympathy for FEMA. Actually, we have 2 hazard mitigation grants right now from FEMA, and that are paying. For,
what's that about?
Well, if the Intertie project in Arcata and McKinleyville, which basically provides the ability of the city of Arcata and the McKinleyville Community Service District and us to transfer water between systems there, is an Intertie project, which is about a $3.6 million project, and FEMA's paying about $3 million of that. It's hazard mitigation. In other words, it's designed to ensure that in the event of a incident that water can be transferred back and forth between these different agencies. I mean, particularly McKinleyville is somewhat vulnerable to that because they lay north of the Mad River, and they have a problem there. So that's a FEMA, and the Techite pipeline, which is we've talked about, is $1.9 million project, and FEMA's paying for a large part of that also. We actually have about $12 million in infrastructure projects underway now, and $10 million of it is being paid for by grants that have been obtained by the staff at the Water District. So they've done a great job.
All going towards projects that everybody agrees on.
Well, that's it. I mean, these projects. Well, yeah. When we start on these projects, we get together with the Water Task Force, which is made up of our customers, and we sit down and talk to them about this is what we want to do, and this is the opportunity we see, and we get their support. Actually, every year we take, the first thing we do is talk to them about budget. This is what we think it's going to cost you next year for your water, and this is why. And we do that every year. We don't just say, here's the bill. We sit down with them and say, this is what we're doing. This is what's happening with us, and this is what's going to cost you for your water next year. And basically, we get concurrence and support for that. So when water rates increase, when we pass water rate increases on to our user agencies, they know it's coming, and they know why it's happening.
Do they do an adequate job in passing it on to their customers?
Well, they're kind of on the firing line a little bit, because their customers are they serve retail customers. They serve the ratepayers.
The end user, I believe.
The end user would be the deal. So when that board of directors down there or wherever it may be, when their boardroom fills up, they have to answer why their rates are going up.
Now, are most of – is it regulatory cost or is it other costs that tend to walk it up?
Well, we talked, in terms of our rates, it's primarily capital improvements. It's two things. It's the loss of the mills and large capital improvements.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Bruce Rupp.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Burns Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity. When you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Burns, get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Burns Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp from the Water Board. Bruce, the concept of blue goo when we're talking about road is something that people are kind of familiar with, kind of not familiar with. When we hear about blue-green algae, we're kind of familiar with. Yeah. Now, if you try to get in the river, the Eel River on a rate during summers, you've seen the stuff and you know what the nasty stuff it is. How do you guys keep that stuff out of the Mad River? Or is it just a factor of the Eel is a different watershed than the Mad? And
historically, the Mad River has basically had enough flows in it that and those flows have been augmented by the water releases from the dam, so blue-green algae was not plumes were not a real big problem. But I think two things have happened recently. First of all, unusually very little rain, unusually dry, and our releases remain the same. And also I think there's because of activities around the river
just say it, man. PC is not our call out, as you know that.
Gross, I know I'm not. Yeah, no, okay, I'm just, fine. You know, activities. People are siphoning water out of the river now, and grows are going on around the river now, and nutrients are getting into the river, and as additional nutrients.
So it's the cycle coming off the grows getting into the watershed.
Exactly. The river is warmer. And you get all these nutrients going into the river, and that generated an algae plume this year. We actually went to the resource agency, and we said we were willing to release more water. The problem with releasing – they said, no, you don't want to do that, and they were, I think, right. Problem with releasing more water is we've got the salmon sitting there ready to come upstream, and we're a little afraid if we release more water, we'll encourage them to come up, we'll blow out the green algae plume, and they'll come up, and the river will, you know, go down again, and we'll strand them. We're not going to do that. You know, somebody else did that.
So you're now a fisheries major.
Well, you have to.
Be, huh?
Yeah.
Where those – I mean, the siphons have probably been there for a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
The grows are a new factor.
Yep.
Have you taken a little putt-putt boat and just go chugging up the river looking for the hose?
I haven't because I don't want to get shot full of holes. We are pushing for more enforcement along the river, you know, in the Mad River Basin.
Because those are pretty easy to find, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, I don't know. Some of them are on federal land or on, you know, there's a lot of national park, Six Rivers National Park.
Well, that's even easier to find.
Well, that's it. We need more enforcement going on up that river, and we would like to see that happen, and we've expressed our interest in having that happen. But
are there issues above the dam in the watershed, or is it everything dam to Arcata?
It's dammed down. If you look at we have a gauge. We have water gauges along the river. We can look at flows. Right now, the gauge at Xenia, which is where the water comes into the – there's no water coming in. There's no rain. There has not been any water. So there's nothing flowing into the dam. It's into the reservoir itself, and there hasn't been now for a while, for a month or so.
Tough to siphon that one.
Yeah. So you're not going to be siphoning any of that. We continue to do our releases and maintain – you know, that river used to – as I've said before, that river would be dry right now if it wasn't for the releases that are coming out of that reservoir. So we kind of benefit the fishery.
Have you been getting any heat as they continue to work on the Klamath and pulling that dam out? About pulling out
no
the root dam, or is that seen
no
as
I think I think anybody who has you know been around here for 10 minutes in the resource management area knows that that dam benefits the fishery. It actually, because of the way the system operates, we release water at the dam, it flows all the way down the river, 75 miles, not all the way but almost all the way down the river, and it's diverted at the Essex facility. We have historically and continue to benefit the river and the flows in the river. We're very sensitive to that. We care a lot about that resource because it provides water to all of our customers.
I wouldn't give you anything you could volunteer your time on then if that was all gone. Yeah, big concern there, huh? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Bruce Rupp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Bruce, the concept of water rates in our area are, I guess, not as direct as what a lot of folks think.
Yeah.
I mean, in the textbook, you got a city. The city has a public works department. The public works department runs the water and the sewer and takes care of it. And everybody's, that's that city, and another city's another city. And not that way here, because we're not big enough to be able to pull something like that together. As you're going through some of the discussions about what the water district does and what it doesn't do, do people get yet the structure that's in play, that the cities and the service districts are customers of yours, or do they want to think that I should be getting a bill either directly from you guys or my city should be dropping a hose in the water?
Well, it varies by organization. I mean, I think some you can point to some cities, for example, that, you know, the two cities that basically, they are and have been connected to us. They're our wholesale customers, and they're very comfortable with that. They understand the relationships. Now, there are some districts, water districts, that have both historically and even in recent days, wondered whether it was really a good idea to be a customer of the Humboldt Bay community, of the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, whether they should be tied totally to the water district.
Are there options?
There really aren't because the ones that there really are not, because we provide as a product high quality water at a pretty reasonable price. And by high quality, I mean it comes, it's stream bed water. It comes, it's filtered water that's filtered down through the stream bed of the Mad River and so forth. So it's sweet, what I would call sweet water. Tastes good.
I'm just looking at the real basics. You talked about some of the environmental regulatory hoops and mazes that you have to go
through with
a proven track record.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine a city trying to start sinking wells for municipal use, and all the EIR and all the studies and the underground fish whomper or whatever it might be in the, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they'd be tied up for 25 years, let alone the infrastructure.
In addition to that, you could lose that resource. I mean, the well could go dry. The well could be.
You mean an earthquake?
Well, earthquake, or it could be. The water could be tainted. You could have saltwater intrusion. All kinds of things can happen. In terms of dependability, this is one of the most dependable systems. I mean, that you can imagine.
So, what is the what's the dissatisfaction then that some of these are starting to grumble about?
Well, it's tied into you have a system, you have an improvement. We have a distribution system, and the question is, who benefits from what pipeline in the distribution system? If I repair the pipeline out on the Samoa Peninsula, where does, for example, McKinleyville benefit from that? But the whole system needs to be maintained. So historically, the way we've worked it is everybody pays their fair share based upon their water usage. And that's the way it's worked. Now, we're doing work right now with the Intertie program that we have going, which is direct benefit to McKinleyville. It has no benefit to Eureka. Eureka is going to be paying part of the cost of that because everybody shares in the cost based on their water usage. On the other hand, the Tekite pipe replacement out on the Samoa Peninsula does not benefit McKinleyville, but it does benefit Humboldt Community Service District and Eureka. And McKinleyville will be paying part of the cost of that.
I would think if you had a narrower base, you may not pay every year, but when you do,
big time.
Oh boy,
big time.
So spreading it out
makes
sense. That's the concept, isn't
it? That is the concept. And what we're trying to do is reduce the overall cost by by transferring water out of the area and bringing funding back into the area, which will reduce the overall rates over time. And I think that's something that's accomplishable. I think we can do that. It's just going to take us a while to get that accomplished.
Do you think we're going to see baggies?
No, well, you know, what we're finding is water is heavy and it's expensive to transport. So,
by barge
or ship or bags or whatever. It's just and it burns a lot of hydrocarbon. So, we started that approach based on the work we've done in the community, and we're going to continue to pursue that. The other thing we found is a lot of the water agencies in the Bay Area get their water from the east side of California, so all of their facilities are on the east side.
You mean the fire zone?
Yeah, where the fires are. But, you know, it's like Hetch Hetchy is up there, and the Tuolumne River is up there where East Bay Mud gets their water.
Now, you've said that there are carbon filters.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize it was coming out of the forest.
It is. Well, they do have some issues there, but their treatment facilities are that side. So when you bring water down into the Bay Area, it's a problem because they have to pump it all the way up there so they can run it all the way back. So we've got some other things we're working on now.
Good deal. Look forward to hearing about that. Thanks
all
for
right.
coming by, buddy.
You bet.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bruce Rupp. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.